Blog Talk Radio.
Psychic X-Ray Man. It's the Psychic X-Ray Man Spiritual Link Talk Radio here at the Spiritual Roundtable. Welcome to the show. How are you? With my lovely guest, Christina. How are you today? Tonight?
Yeah, I was going to say tonight. I'm doing pretty good.
Well, that's good. I called and I thought the shares would be a little better tonight, but then again, I thought that after I got cut off, maybe not. So I'm calling through Skype. Only thing I forgot about is with Skype, I don't have an external mic, so that's why I was making sure everybody could actually hear me as I'm talking through my computer, basically. So
just,
if everybody just tuned in.
It just sounds like you're on speakerphone.
It sounds like I'm on speakerphone?
Yes.
That's thrilling. Sometimes talking to people on speakerphone can be the most irritating thing in the world. Which is not the kind of thing I want to sit there and say to people. So, hey. And I'll just sit there and say, hey, guys, if you want to give a call in tonight and get a reading, please do so at 646-721-9031. And, again, that number is 646-721-9031. If you want to get a private reading from me, which I do private readings, I have a shop in town. I do phone readings and that kind of stuff. And if you want to take advantage of those things right now, we're only going for $1 a minute. Also, with new clients and new customers, we're also looking for sponsorships, so therefore we're having special rates. So give us a call, which you can use the same number on all those. That is 740-500-8863. Even if you want to call ahead of time before you come into the shop and get a reading in person, just use the same number. Again, it's 740-500-8863. So we also have some callers in the queue. So I wasn't. That's when I sit there and was sitting there focusing and going, if I click on my number, which you freak out going, things are doing things by themselves because I didn't call back in. Yes, there's spirits in the machine, so watch out. So, how are you been? Well, that makes.
How have I been? Oh. I've been busy.
Yeah, I see. How are you? It's like this, sweetie. If you don't want to talk about it, you want to keep everything private and mysterious. I mean, the name itself, Christina, is mysterious, right?
Yeah. Now, I've been crazy busy all last week, and finally it's calmed down and got back to my yoga class, so, and realized that one should not go 3 weeks without being in yoga, because you regret it.
It's always the way it works, isn't it? Because a lot of us have a tendency to do one thing. We don't realize we haven't done it for 3 weeks, and we go right back in it trying to do the same thing. And the next morning, I guarantee you, it's going to be one of those things going, what the heck was I thinking? Because I've actually done that before with weightlifting, too, as well. Haven't worked it in a while, come back, jump right into it, doing the same thing I was doing when I left. And the next morning, I wake up going, could somebody help me out of bed? Because my legs are not working. I just feel so freaking like someone took a ball bat and beat me to death.
Yeah. No, it's just like all the things I was working on and I was getting close to accomplishing. Yeah, I kind of went down a couple of levels. So 3 weeks will do it to you. I'm like, darn it all. Mm-hmm. Gotta go do it all over again.
But isn't that part of the journey?
Well, yeah. It's kind of like when you make a pit stop, you know, when you're riding, you know, you're in a race and you stop in pit to get your tires changed and all that kind of stuff, and you got to get back on the racetrack and you're, you know, several cars behind, so you got to get back in the lead.
No, I understand. I've done the same thing with working out. It's like I get to a point and then I got to go back in there to thinking, I didn't really want to go through the process of getting back where I was before because I was really liking it and starting to go think about going to the next step. And then it was just, I was like, damn, I know I got to go through the whole thing to get there. But, and it's probably not as hard as I think it's going to be, but I know a lot of things about certain things that they call this thing, what's it called? Muscle memory. And usually what happens a lot of times, if you've already done it and you have a lot of faith in yourself, the muscles never forget. It's just the idea of reawakening them again, and you're like, I don't know how to do that again, because I remember the first time on how sore I was on certain things. When you get the next morning, you start walking toward the bathroom going, I don't remember working that muscle. That hurt. There's just little mysteries that keep popping up from time to time. And the one I don't like the most is people have a tendency to look at you and going, well, you know, you're getting old, and that's what happens. I'm going, go away. No, it hurts because I worked out. That's simple. It worked. And, you know, people seem to say this thing, but I've been doing this for so long. I'm sort of going, no, this is what happens every time. I know the freaking feeling since the time I was 16, you know, and actually I've noticed it's actually gotten lessener. It's actually gotten less, I don't know how to put it. It doesn't seem to last as long as it did when I was younger. So I can definitely feel that. And so that kind of encourages me, going, okay, these people are getting old. I'm not. And that's what they live. That's their perception. So I was like, no way. I'm going to listen to you tell me what I can't do. I'm going to do it anyway. Because I've actually had that a couple times in this last month. Well, not this month, but in January, they're saying, you know something, you're getting old, so I want you to stop doing that. And I started realizing, I know what that's all about. People are looking at you, the thing that you have decided to do, and you're not going to give up. I mean, my thing is, it's the idea of trying to look every freaking time. I jump back in the weights and working out and that kind of stuff, and I know how I feel. I know how much it puts me back in a situation where I feel very youthful. So I was like, so therefore, in my younger years, I've just found out now how to deal with the older years. Yeah, I do. I can still do the same thing, maybe even more. And realistically, I've done the studies on this too. It actually says that we should be improving as we get older. The reason we lose our hearing and all that kind of stuff is more about the power of suggestion that people keep telling us this is what happens when you get older. But actually, the studies have shown, which is baffling to some scientists, why we even go that route, why things get worse when they should actually be improving more. So it's like one of those things, you know. I think people should do some research, but also listen to their intuition that gravitates them in the right position or right situation, the right places to get the right information. Because we were talking about that today about certain things we keep hearing when it seems like it's borderline manipulation, that it is the idea of improving in you know, the self-help books and that kind of stuff. And we could simply just go, well, this is just the way it is. I was reading this one. I have a book here I was actually working on improving on healing. You the healer is what it's talking about. It's a Silva method on how to heal yourself and others. And I've had a lot of people say, well, you already do that, right? I said, yeah, but there's nothing wrong with reading information and improving, because realistically, we've heard people say this before, the idea of spiritual concepts. I did a six, and this one lady was sitting there telling me, she said, I did a 6-month course in spirituality. I'm good. No, you're not. And so I'm not trying to be judgmental, but you know, the idea of spirituality, realistically, it's a lifetime commitment. You know, things are improving. And I think people, once they really get into it and they're really experiencing it, they'll start realizing that they want to do more because they're starting to discover things about themselves. And now they want to see how much they can really discover. Well, you know, if this is me, how much more can I get in touch with? What's up? You know, that kind of thing. That's why we always say it's a lifetime commitment. Because realistically, even people who are not really doing the spiritual stuff definitely see that they change it every day because of everything they're subjected to, everything that crosses their path, people, situations, opportunities. It, you know, your perceptions constantly change. So it's a good thing. Christina?
Yes.
This is where you come in and go, you know? So I know you're probably sitting there going, you're sitting there going.
Tangent that you know, something that's supposed to be about me and the longest tangent about how it turned out to be about you. Oh my God.
I know. Oh, come on, give me credit. I always have to finish to come back to you and say, okay, now it's your turn. I'm sorry.
I thought you'd forgotten I was here.
No, I did not forget you were there. I'm saying no.
You are such a girl.
Okay, thank you. I'm not really sure I take that.
So I've had a lot of female friends that it's like you know, they ask you how you're doing and you tell them and you're like, you barely have, you know, you get a couple of sentences out and they're like, oh yeah, me too. And then they go on to tell them about themselves and you're like, wait a minute, I thought we were talking about me. And before you know it, they've gone on two or three different stories before they're like, yeah. So you're just sitting there like, okay, don't know what to talk about now because we've kind of lost the subject.
Yes. So, Bill, let's talk about your yoga and the situation you're going through. Back to you going, okay. I mean, I'm just saying the concept you're going through, it's like, I mean, well, I guess we wouldn't say concept. We're saying we're looking at the situation you're doing yoga and the idea, the steps that you're taking that you're going to have to go through again, but not really. That's what I when I say not again, I mean, yes, you have to go back, but you're not going back. It's the idea of what you haven't done, of working toward going back, getting, how we put this, it's the idea of going forward. And maybe in the process of going through yoga again, since you've already been there once before, you might find an easier way to get back to where you was before, maybe even quicker. But, yeah, no, it's all about you. You got the next 20 minutes, so go for it.
No, it was just one of those things that it's like I knew I had to get back into it because it helped me with my flexibility and my focus so that I could also do my workouts without hurting myself as much as I had been. And, you know, losing the 15 pounds I've gained since October because spring and summer is coming up and I want to be able to fit back into my nice skinny jeans for when I go and ride my motorcycle. Because right now, they ain't going over my booty. So, and I bought some pretty sweet jeans last year that I didn't get a chance to wear before the weather got cold. So, but they ain't fitting right now. So I gotta step it up a few notches to get everything done in time because I have a movie premiere in April that I've got to go to, and there's, you know, couple of dresses I'm looking at, and I don't want to buy them in the big size, so
right.
I've given myself till April to get it all back down and accomplished and back to being fighting fit again.
Yeah, also the situation, it was a lot of things that I haven't been able to tell you. It was the idea when you ride your bike, listen to yourself, your intuition, please. I keep getting a really weird feeling about it. To be careful.
Well, yeah,
so
there's like
out.
10 tons of there's 10 tons of sand on the road here right now because they don't sweep the streets like they should. So there's all kinds of sand in the middle of the lanes and off to the side. And when you like try to take turns, there's sand in the middle of the intersection. And oh yeah, it's pretty treacherous. So. We need a really good rain to wash all of that away, but yeah, it still has, I mean, the snow's gone and the ice is gone, but that sand is just as bad.
Yeah, no, I know, because every day I'm sitting in this freaking building trying to sit there, either relax, focus on something, and if you've seen this road next to my freaking apartment building, it's got sand and all kinds of good stuff. All you can hear people all freaking day. Spinning their tires. And I'm like, dude, get your foot out of the freaking gas pedal. Okay, you know, ease into it. No, they're like, or I sat there one day, some guy was out here just spinning his freaking tires. I'm going, did it snow again? No, some dumbass stuck in the thing. I'm just saying, my vision was not something close. It was something more of out on the road kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be very careful, people who are not aware of you. You know how it is with bikes and stuff. People
just don't
see you. You know, and it's like, and it's kind of crazy too. But I've actually been in a situation crossing a crosswalk, and next thing the guy just takes off because you can see him. After they're waiting for the lights to turn green, they don't see you. Next time I'm on someone's hood, going hello, and the guy goes, "Where'd you come from?" Well, dude, if you sit there and pay attention to what's going on instead of looking at that freaking light, which is going to change. You're not going to get, you know, so I always tell people, I said, what's your hurry? When you get home, your house is going to be there. And they go, how do you know? I'm psychic. Okay, so get over it. So just realize that when you get home, you're home, and there's no reason to do it any faster because I guarantee if you do it any faster and get careless, you might not make it home. So take that in freaking consideration. And I'm not saying anything about you and your driving, okay? I'm saying that's the vision I got. So it was one of those things where you look at things and going, this might be one of those things where you talk to people and go, you know, sometimes giving people insight and that kind of stuff, I've seen it can be good or bad. You know, you sit there and tell somebody, be careful, and they're careful in every freaking aspect, which actually causes an accident anyway.
So, exactly. You know,
but you're also very intuitive yourself, so all I got to do is say, just pay attention to your intuition, you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, is there anything more about you? Because you still got 15 minutes. I've been counting.
I won the lottery.
I'm just, you know, I always say, people come in the queue and they leave, their impatience is going to work against them because we got an answer to the question. They didn't think we were being attentive enough. When actually, when we talk, you know, things we say have a tendency to really have a major impact on people's lives. Listen to us. So go right ahead.
Well, I guess my major accomplishment this week was that I finished Eat, Pray, Love. And it was a book that I've been meaning to read for, like, the past, oh, gosh, pretty much since the book came out. But then I didn't pick up a copy. You know, everybody was reading it except for me. And then, like, a year or two later, the movie came out. And I didn't see the movie when it came out. But when it came out on DVD, I rented it, and I watched it, and I loved it. And I was like, I really should read the book, you know, because I love this movie. I need to read the book. Well, I still didn't pick up a copy. And then I rewatched, you know, I bought the movie, you know, I had the movie, and I've rewatched the movie, like, oh, gosh, probably 25 times or something like that throughout the past 2 or 3 years. And every single time I watch it, I go, I really need to get a copy of that book and read it, really. And you know, I would see it in the store, but it's like I would buy a different book instead. So then it got to the point where I wasn't even seeing it in the bookstore anymore, so I didn't think about it, but still kept watching the movie and was like, still never picked up a copy. And then finally 2 weeks ago, I was on my iPad, and I realized, you know what? I have the little app on my iPad where I can buy books and read books on my iPad. So I was like, what have I wanted to read, you know? And I'm sitting there, I'm going, Eat, Pray, Love. So I finally download the book. And for over the past 2 weeks, I've been reading it because, like, I'll read some of it, and then I'll stop and just think about what I've read and everything like that, you know, let it ruminate in my head and stuff. And I finally finished it, and I sat there and I thought, why in the world did it take me so long to buy and read this book? And it, after all the stuff that I read and everything, and I thought about all the things I'd gone through in the past, you know, 3 years, almost 4 years, and I realized that it was all about timing. Because if I had actually picked that book up 6 or 7 years ago, let's see, it was 2006 when it came out. So almost 8 years ago when it came out, I would not have understood or been able to appreciate that book back then. So I was as I was reading it, it's like, I've been there. I understand that. Oh, my gosh. That's exactly the way I felt or how I'm feeling right now and all these things. It's like, but what took me so long? And it's like I realized that I wasn't ready for that book until now. Because I would have read the book and just said, interesting. You know, that was okay. And thrown it off to the side. Not, and it's like, and even if I had picked it up after I'd seen the movie, I still wouldn't have gotten as much out of it or still been able to identify or understand because I still hadn't gone through all the stuff that I wound up doing and everything. And it's like, I thought about it, it's like, what in the world? And it's like, it's all about timing. I wasn't there yet to understand and appreciate it for what it was saying and what it's going to do for me down the road. So, whoa, that's kind of creepy, man. It's like, that's heavy, dude.
Yes, exactly.
But that was my little epiphany for the week. Because, like, so many people are like, you know, they'll do something. It's like, why didn't I do this sooner? Why didn't I read this sooner? Why didn't I go here sooner? Why didn't I do? And it's like, because if you had done it sooner, you wouldn't have been ready.
Yeah, it's one of those things
you
that's progression.
You weren't ready. Yeah, you weren't ready until now.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, wow.
It is kind of crazy because people don't, it's like one thing I've noticed, people say I should know everything. And most of the part in certain situations I do, but there's other things where you have a tendency, because of who we are, human and spiritual at the same time, that we have a tendency to be pulled away from it and pulled away from our intuition that we all have a life experience. You know, when you get away from things, it teaches you how to get back there. It's like your yoga. You know, you're going through a situation right now where you can learn how to avoid the things you went through the first time that were painful because you know of them. So your journey back, you still have to make a journey back, but still the journey is going to be a whole lot easier if you pay attention and look for variables and solutions on how to get there even quicker. It's one of those things I've always seen too, where it's very informative, not just with yoga itself. It's the idea that yoga will also teach you in life to do the same, to go around the hurtful situations. Because you've been there before, so therefore they might not be the total identical situation, but you do have some insight that you never had before. Because I was sitting here listening to people when I walked by my shop, and this guy came on. He came by the first time, and I didn't listen to him. And so I got this place right next to me, and he told me how much it was. I'm going, really? I was actually looking for someplace cheaper, but it was also a decision made in the fear of getting out of the situation even quicker. And then he came by again, and he told me the place was still open. So I was like, hold up. I told myself I'm going to start listening. So I said to his dad, says, you should go up and talk to him. You should go talk to him right now. He's right there right now. Go talk to him. So I'm like, okay. I told myself that I would stop doing that, and we're going to follow through whatever happens. Whatever crosses my path, I know it's happening for a reason. So I went up there and talked to him. And then today, the other day he came by again. And I said, he told me, he says, is that place out of your price range? I said, dude, right now everything's on my price range. You know, I'm kicked off of a situation because I gave somebody some money that I really feel like it was it was kind of funny, too. When I gave him the freaking money, I thought it was a good decision. But this is also one thing it teaches you about people. No matter how obvious situations are and what they're going to do and what you felt like it was a good thing, doesn't mean everybody else is going to follow suit. So the lady could have gone two different directions. She could have taken the $500 and, like most people would say, appreciate the business. But she's focusing on something that she wants to do. And I always tell people in the situations, I can learn from her experiences that I still felt like it was a good idea to give them the freaking money, you know. And I think it's one of those challenging moments. It's going to challenge me to say, okay, you've been focusing on increasing your income, and now you're sitting there worrying because you gave somebody freaking money. That's not the solution, so therefore stop thinking about it. So focus on what's the solution. You've been getting the cards over and over again, new location, new home. So therefore, it must be feasible, and it must be definitely obtainable. So therefore, forget it. Let it go. Push it away. So I said, okay. And then, like I told you, but I'm still got the little voices screaming inside of me, which I call it, it's like my little fear. And I did notice today, the guy came by again, and I'm sitting there going, I'm going to go up there and see if the guy will take a deposit to hold the place. That'll give me more confidence inside, too, make me feel a little at ease. And sure enough, I walk up there and ask the guy, say, I'll give you $200 now, and then I'll give you the rest when I move in on the first. And the guy was just like, no problem. It's amazing how our fears will take that same scenario and take it so many different directions and blow it out of proportion, you know, like the guy telling you, you know, get lost, and just all kinds of stuff. And then you go down there and do it, and all of a sudden you're like, what was I so freaking freaked out about? Because it was such an easy situation. I've done the same with asking for raises while working for the carnival, like asking. I got it all in my head, you know, going, I'm going to ask the guy, I'm going to focus on it. I did the right techniques of focusing on, so when people ask me the question, how much you make, I would always tell them that's how much I make. Reaffirming that in my mind. that when I walked up, even when it was kind of funny too, because everything fell into place. The opportunity happened too, where I could just go up and talk to my boss and nobody around, and I, you know, I seized the opportunity and I hooked up this guy. Things I tell people about the techniques that I was doing, where you talk to yourself, where you sit there and say, "Hey, Don, how much do you make a month? How much do you make a week?" "I make $400 a week." "You make $400 a week?" I would sit there and talk to myself. But when I did walk up to him, the fear wasn't as much, but it was still there to the point where I asked him for, I want to raise. I even told him how much I want. But I actually walked away going, maybe I should have asked for $350. It was so freaking easy. And the reason, when we sit and look at it, the reason we're saying it's so easy because we made it such a big, you know, big situation, blew out of proportion. But it actually happened just the way it was going to happen. If we just relaxed, probably could have asked for the raise even sooner. So take a deep breath. You'll be good. Take 3 deep breaths. Just don't hyperventilate, okay? I'm sure you've been in situations yourself where you sit down and blown situations out of proportion, and when they finally happen, you're going, that was so freaking easy. What was I so freaking fearful of? That's the point, right? Christina?
Yeah?
Did you hear what I said?
I've never been one to what I would call blow it out of proportion. I've hesitated probably longer on something that I should have because, you know, I didn't feel that I could do it.
Okay.
But then when I decided I was finally going to learn to ride a motorcycle, you know,
mm-hmm.
it was one of those things that, you know, the first day getting on it, it was just like, okay. I didn't think about changing my mind. I just thought about, here's the
mm-hmm.
reality now. Let's see if it works. But, you know, and I did put it off longer than I should have, you know. But
mm-hmm.
it wasn't so much because I was scared, but it was because I, you know, thought it was something I, you know, couldn't do at the time that I originally wanted to do it because of kids and all that kind of stuff. I needed to be responsible and everything like that because everybody's like, you have kids, you shouldn't, you know, be doing dangerous stuff like that. And it's like, well... I still want to do it, though. But no, just stuff like that. No, I've never cared or worried about, you know, basically, you know, anything could kill me, you know, or be so scared of it that, you know, like some people won't go down, will dive off the high dive at a pool, you know. And I was like, I get up there and it's like the only way off is to jump. So I might stand there. I might have stood there as a kid for a couple of extra minutes than people cared for me too. Because like, come on, jump, you know. But I always wanted
right,
to be in it. So I've been through enough big things and stuff that I figured if that all that stuff didn't do me in, so these other things won't either. So. But
mm-hmm.
sometimes my problem is it takes a little too long to make a decision because not so much that I'm afraid to do it, but I'm kind of afraid of what other people would think, and I just got to get over what other people think because, honestly,
mm-hmm.
people usually don't think about you. So it's kind of nice.
Right.
It's not a loss. So.
No, we are still working on this. Diving up a diving board, which is kind of funny because I can do anything you want in the freaking water. I love the water. But diving into it from a high stage, for some reason, seems to be something that I haven't gotten over yet. Always baffle me on that one, too. Because
mm-hmm.
I remember when I was younger, I used to be like Aquaman. I liked being under the water, which is kind of funny because I had a drowning accident where I was under the water for over 25 minutes and drowned, basically. But I like it in the water. See, I don't know. I guess one of those days will be another realization for me. One of those things. So, I was thinking about something. But I'll tell you, I've been thinking about lots of stuff. The thing I was focusing on is Healer's book is really a good book, and the idea of helping others in healing, and also the idea of focusing. And the reason I was focusing on this, and it's just another technique I would like to bring to your attention, you do what you want with it, but it actually it's been actually proven to actually, this I was reading this today, and I like this looking at this. A lot of times I look for information to back up what I know, so therefore that's kind of crazy, but it's also a different concept that they've never heard of before. So I try to find information to actually think so they can actually go, well, maybe I should think about that, or maybe actually, you know, this book is called You the Healer. It's by this Jose. And it's actually based off this world-famous Silva method on heal yourself and others, but it's also a method on how to really connect with your alpha, with your alpha mode, which is realistically what you're in when you're dreaming, and you're still in it when you wake up in the morning. That's why a lot of us have a tendency to be feeling like we're out of place, because we're still in that dream state. And that's the alpha, what do you want to call it, the alpha phase or whatever, okay? And there's a technique where you can actually keep yourself in that phase, which is actually connecting you to your abilities. There was a part in the book that I liked. The reason I started reading it even more was it was talking about how people make decisions on relationships, okay? And it says people who just sit there and go by a physical feeling have a 10% rate of actually finding a mate, a perfect, you know, that works. And then it said people who are clairvoyant have an 85% accuracy rate and the ideal of knowing the one they're going to be with and the mate, that kind of stuff. So what it does, it focuses on the book, is on the ideal how to really tap into your clairvoyant abilities with this technique, which is simply what you do is you practice in the mornings, and what you do is you start off, there's a 40-day plan where you first start off with getting yourself in a relaxed mode, relaxing the muscles and that kind of stuff before you get out of bed. It's the idea of trying to keep yourself in that alpha mode so you'll know what it feels like. So you know when you're working with these techniques in the process of getting into this alpha, what it feels like already, so you'll know you're there. So what it does is it takes a couple of techniques to relax. And then they start working on things where the first 10 days you work on counting backwards from 100 to 1. Okay, all you do is relax, do some relaxing modes and that kind of stuff. And you take your thumb and your two first fingers, doesn't matter which hand, just take those three fingers and put them together. This is your connection. In a focus point as you're counting down, okay? And what you're going to do is you're counting backwards, you're going to allow yourself to go deeper within yourself, okay? And it's the idea of focusing on you are the observer, okay? You're going to feel it later on when you actually tap into alpha. But at first, most people don't tap into it. Some people do tap into it very quickly. But what you're doing is you're working on the technique with the three fingers, with your thumb and your two fingers, and the idea of working on that focus point and the idea of counting backwards. Because what you're going to do is count backwards from 100 to 1 on the first 10 days. And then the next 10 days, you're going to work on going from 50 down to 1. And then you're going to work on knocking it down where you can actually go from 10 to 1. And this is just a technique also. And once you get into the alpha, that's where you get the focus point. That's where most clairvoyants and people that are in their abilities, they feel certain things are channeling and that kind of stuff. That's where it all works from. Your dreaming state, that's in the alpha. So when you sit here and start focusing on these things, all they're going to do is help you to get really in touch with yourself. To the point where the reason I was looking at this whole thing, I've done this technique before, and I realized when I had this technique, I could actually work with this thing really work with it to even get deeper in myself, that nothing ever bothered me. And I like being there where I can, because it makes it easier when you get to a state where nothing bothers you. It's also easier to be an observer, to look at things and see things what they are, to be able to see the details in every situation, every incident, every opportunity that crosses your thing. Like for some of the things we've talked about, how you like to be two steps ahead, this will help you really trust what's going on at the moment. So therefore, you can still use your technique. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's one of the things you got to experience to realize sometimes a lot of other things that you've been doing are so drawn out. This is so simple. It's just more, as you put it, logically, to go this route. So it's what then you go to the other, we did the first 10 days, the second 10 days, and then the next 20 days are basically working with things where you could actually get it down to going back from 5 to 1. Once you get to that state, then you can pretty much, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, go invest, help yourself in a situation, making decisions, looking at something. Even the idea, if you're at the airport, you got a 7-hour layover, you can go into this and make the situations, whatever's going on, a whole lot more bearable, because it gets you to the point where you don't have to, just nothing bothers you. You realize, okay, I'm here for a purpose. I'm here for 7 hours. And I know for a fact that I've been in situations like that too, where people cross your path. And when you're in that state of mind, you realize that no matter where you're at, no matter what you do, people are going to cross your path that you can help, that reflect even back on what you're doing to them can be reflected back at yourself. So the process seems to happen smoother and quicker, and realizations happen as well. And that's part of the healing part too, when you sit down and focus and get into that state. So therefore, you're able to heal yourself by using whatever visualization you want to use. They usually have a tendency to focus in the healing process, but you go into this state, get your mind very clear, and then you say, I will always maintain a perfectly healthy body and mind. And then they picture in their mind that when they were younger, where they didn't think anything could hurt them, and get themselves in that state of mind. What I do in those situations is the idea of focusing on what's indestructible. Like when I dropped a plate on my foot, I sit there and focus on my foot being like the Terminator's foot, which we all know for a fact the Terminator is really a machine with this indestructible metal, and that's what I picture my foot as. So I was actually able to walk away from the situation of seeing my foot like that to realize it doesn't matter if I dropped a 25-pound plate on my foot. With that kind of structure, it couldn't hurt me. And my mind took over, reflected through my body, and I actually walked out of there. I did have just a touch swelling on it, but nothing else besides that. And it should have really been. I've been in situations like that before I ever had the technique. I walked and limping out of there, and my foot swelled up and that kind of stuff. And this time, I was pretty much determined. I've gotten to a point, a lot of those things, where it's like, okay, if I can manifest anything, let's see how far we can take it. Perfect feats, you know, whatever that's going on that time, to focus on making it perfect. And the idea, a lot of people, like you said before, it's the idea of taking people's, take to the point where people, whatever they say, whatever they do, you don't take in consideration. You focus on what you want to happen in that moment, because people are always going to give their opinion, no matter if you ask for it or not. Most of the time, it's always given to you without asking for it. So we sit here and say, Christina, are you still there? I always say that because we've been cut off so many freaking times.
Yes, I'm still here.
The thing, like, take a deep breath. That was crazy. Anyway, I'm just saying. So it's one of those things, it's a very simple technique, and you can use it on anything and everything. I think where it talks about healing oneself, healing other people, distant healings, then it was focusing on dealing with emergencies, where you can use the three finger technique to basically ease your mind, relax, so therefore you can see things for what they are. And some of us can do that too, but I'm just saying. Focusing. I know we had some callers, but sometimes I just felt like I was one of the things that when I read this book and I started seeing the results that they were talking about, this silver method has been around for a long time, since the 50s. Don't you think it's kind of weird that we have so many techniques and stuff like that actually came out in the 50s and 60s that we're just now coming into touch with?
I wasn't around in the 50s and the 60s, so I really don't have a frame of reference for that one.
What I'm saying is the idea of the things that we're getting into now, okay? How long is that? Like, for example, I wasn't born 1,000 years ago in the typical sense, okay? But I just was introduced to these cars, okay? what I was looking for, okay, what I'm looking for here is the idea of these cards that made a big impact. And I started realizing these are actually based off the original tarot deck. And it's an angel tarot deck, but it's still tarot cards. And it's based off a deck that was actually created over thousands of years ago. And then we started getting into the situation, started realizing the Rider-Waite deck has only been around since the 19th century. So basically, they're fairly new cards. And I don't like them. And the reason I don't like those, because they have a certain darkness to them. You know? I think it was one of those things, too, where I was asking the angels for some positive cards, because I'm always constantly focusing on people saying, well, if you focus on just the positive, then the positive is all you're going to get. Of course, you're going to have people out there saying, if you don't have the negative, how are you going to learn? Even with the process of focusing on you want your life to be positive, it's still going to be a process to get there. And what we could, and most of those techniques sometimes, some people would consider them negative when they're just part of the process. The reason they feel like they're negative is because they're a challenge. So, you know, being on this plane is still a challenge no matter way you look at it. So what I'm saying is that we have techniques. We have yoga. We have all these things that have been around for thousands of years. Why is it now in this period that they're becoming so popular and we're hearing about those and more mainstream and why people are starting to focus more on spirituality? And since, you know, you're going on your journey, I'm just saying the situation of some of the things you're introduced to, even before you were born, after you were born, these techniques were still there. And the idea, why do you think that? Because you're talking about the idea that everything happens for a reason. And now you're sitting there talking about the idea of the book itself. But also yoga was also, you know, was another thing that came into your life. And it's the idea that don't you have an anticipation of what's going to be coming up in the future? And the idea of other things going to be introduced to you to change your perception? That's what I'm asking.
Well, I think it's because as a society, you know, we're circular. I mean, we're circular. We reach a certain point of, you know, basically synthetic and, what's the word I'm looking for? Generic and conformity, and it reaches a point where then we get stagnant or it starts rotting, and we've reached a level where people can't take it anymore, so they want to go back to a simpler way of things. They want to go back to the natural ways. It's basically nature balancing itself out. And it's happened in every society since time began. I mean, it's like empires grew, had their golden age, and then had a decline, and then, you know, they completely crumbled because, you know, another society rose up and conquered them, or, you know, they declined to the point of non-existence, and people were like, where did they go? And it's basically we get so, you know, every society gets to a point where it gets so polluted and they realize we're sick. Well, we need to fix it. And it's like, what is it that we, you know, to do? And they're like, well, who do we want to emulate, you know? And then they go to, well, here are the people we know or these places that we know that seem healthy. What are they doing? And then we copy that. So that's why we're back into the cycle of people wanting to be healthier, people wanting to be happier and realizing that, you know, they have too much baggage, they have too many things, they have too much going on in their head. They've got too much going on physically, just, you know, with all this science and the reports about the, you know, obesity epidemic and things like that. It's because we've self-indulged and we've taken, you know, all in to our lives, all these stuff and extra things that don't, you know, that we think are making our lives better, but are actually making our lives worse. So, and like I said, and you look into every society, every country, every, you know, century, it reaches a certain point, and then people want to get back to what they call the basics. You know, they want to get back to nature. They want to get back to, some people think of it, they want to get back to God. You know, there's something that they want to get back to, quote, the beginning. And that, to me, is why so many of these things keep enduring, because it is essentially the basics. It's focusing back on simple, just tearing away all these extra layers that we've put on that aren't necessary, that we thought were necessary. So, that's how I look at it.
Okay, let's take it back to the individual basis. Okay.
Unfortunately, it's one of those things, and it didn't take very long to get to this point, but it's going to take a long time to get back to, quote, the healthy state.
No, the reason I was asking the question is the idea of, I read this Enduring Virtues book where she focused on the individuality. When one heals himself, he also heals the world. So therefore, he's a reflection, and he doesn't really have to do anything physically for everybody else. It's just what he does for himself. So it's the idea of asking the question, what do you think prompts people on an individual basis that they would actually sit there and go through this? Because, you know, you have to admit one thing, and each one, like you said before, each one of these societies have always gone to a point where indulgence and then the idea of getting back to basics, okay, so we have that history out there. So why do we keep getting these phases where people should be learning from their infractions that got it there in the first place and start correcting those things? Or do you think they have, in some sense, or corrected some things so it doesn't – but like you said before, it seems like things are getting out of hand a whole lot quicker than they was in the past. So it makes you wonder if anybody's really learning, or maybe the idea we're looking at things in a group effort when we should be looking at the individual and how much there has been changed since the beginning of time until now, that we've made some strides with the, like, technology and stuff like that. But you're right, people talking about technology is going to save us, when actually technology could be the downfall quicker than anything else. But we know for a fact, if they pull the plug tomorrow on electricity, you know, almost in some ways you're going to look at society going to be very lost, because they rely so much on their phones. I mean, I've seen some people go through withdrawals when you take their cell phone away from them. You know what I mean? That's why I was focusing on the individual. You know, the things that you've gone through yourself and the idea of what you've seen. Because I know for a fact in the process of some of the, when I started going through this thing, I don't know what you want to call it, spiritual awakening and that kind of stuff, it's a constant thing all the time, you know, within the individual. Looking at history, you have a part where everything's great, indulgence, get back to basics. But you can also put that on people's lives, on individuality too as well. We've all gone through those stages in one lifetime where we go and things are good, we start getting indulgence in the whole thing, and then we start looking for a way to make our lives simple. We can look back on our lives and say, okay, this has happened many, many times. How can we think we still go through those things? You think it's on the same level as like with your yoga. We still keep going through those processes, and then we go, okay, I got to start over again. But then you realize you've learned on how to get there quicker. So you think from history and everything we've gone through, do you think we realistically in this time phase, that actually things are simpler for us and that we're actually being lazy? And she's going, what? Doesn't the pause just drive you crazy when she does that?
Well, all I can say is that I don't know, you were kind of carrying two conversations at once there, so I'm not quite sure how my answer is.
Okay, let's do it this way, okay? On an individual basis on what you've gone through, okay, what you're going through now, and go back this lifetime and look at other things where you've done the same thing, where you start, you get indulged, and then you have to find, and then you start looking for a basis to get back to basics, like a pattern. Like what you, for example, you said that you haven't gone to yoga in 3 weeks, and in fact, you've been trying to get back there, and you're trying to figure, okay, how come I'm not getting there? When, as you wrote, as you have you read, okay, and you read this book, and you sit here and come up with the ideal of saying, okay, everything happens for a reason and at the right time. That the 3 weeks that you couldn't get there was actually an opportunity that when you did get back there, to experience this on a different level where you can actually get around those painful points and actually make this more of a pleasurable moment, okay? But in that 3 weeks' time and some of the things you've gone through has put your body in a state of that you're not too happy with. So now you're looking for to get back to the part what's going to bring you back to basics where you feel good about yourself. You're going to get, you know, you can actually accomplish your goals. I guess I'm just asking the question, have you ever noticed that kind of pattern in your life before? And then you realize it was still some kind of learning lesson for you.
Yeah, I do notice that pattern, but I also notice a lot of times the reason why I wound up, when I tried to go back to something or I had stopped something because of one reason, it basically was because it was done. You know, I needed to do something different. The thing with getting back into yoga is that the reason why I wanted to get back to it, even though I hadn't been into it for 3 weeks, is because after having read the Eat, Pray, Love book, she did a lot of yoga studying and all this kind of stuff, and the reason for her yoga was different than what I originally got in it for, the reason why I got into it, because my muscles were very tight after working out so much and everything like that. It was getting to the point where I didn't think I was getting the benefit that I needed to, because everything mm-hmm. was always so stiff and tight, and I couldn't get the movement that I needed to. So it's like I need to get a better sense and more stretching and more flexibility. It's like, well, do yoga. But then, right. You know, after reading Eat, Pray, Love and reading her about what she looked at yoga as a spiritual journey, and also to help her focus her thoughts and to learn how to set intentions. And that, to me, was something that kind of came across. Because previously in yoga classes, they always, in the beginning of class, are like, we're going to sit here, we're going to breathe, and also you need to set your intention for, you know, your practice tonight. And I would always kind of, you know, smirk a little bit, and it was like, my intention is to be able to touch my toes tonight. Or my intention mm-hmm. is to be able to hold the tree pose for longer than 5 seconds, but it was always sort of like a sarcastic kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But after reading that book, I realized it's like it's not so much, you know, it's like, okay, I need to focus on this as an actual practice for my actual mental and spiritual well-being, not just my physical flexibility. So mm-hmm. I went to yoga last night and I went to yoga this evening, and I had a whole different attitude towards it, because the word intention kept coming into my head. It's like, what is my actual, you know, what is my real intention for this? You know, what do I really want to accomplish for? And honestly, both nights, it's just been, I just want a quiet mind. I just want a quiet mind so that my thoughts aren't interfering with what my body wants to do or what my body can do. So it means it's like, yeah, I'm going back to yoga, but my focus now is in my intention now, or my motivation now is different than mm-hmm. it was before. So to mm-hmm. me, it gives me a whole nother level of benefit, I guess, that you could say, to it. Yoga, honestly, is never really what I would call ever caused me pain. more along the lines of frustration because I'm a perfectionist and I'm very competitive. So to go to yoga, even though I've only been going for a few months, to not be able to do those handstands like these other people can do, you know, was always frustrating me. It was like, well, it's because, you know, I'm too muscular, or it's because, you know, I'm too afraid of falling, or, you know, there's always some excuse and stuff, and it's just like, I get so frustrated, which means my, you know, which, because my intention for it was wrong, you know, my intention was to do it perfectly, you know, and I was expecting way too much of myself. That's the reason why it was, quote, it wasn't causing me physical pain. It actually was helping a lot because I was, you know, running better and running faster and being able to work better on, you know, my workout because I wasn't pushing as hard because I was using the right muscle groups because I was, the yoga was focusing on the muscle groups you have a tendency to not pay attention to, you know, like, you know, because I, you know, you people usually hold themselves wrong, you know, in their posture on a daily basis. And so yoga was making me focus on how to hold the, you know, certain muscle groups in a way that supported my larger ones, so it actually helped in what I was doing workout-wise. But now my, you know, the 3 weeks of not going is because, you know, I didn't make it a priority because I was doing, I was injured, and, you know, and actually, I wasn't injured in yoga, and I wasn't injured in working out. I was actually injured at just lifting a freaking suitcase out of the back of a truck. Because I didn't hold my muscles the way I know how to hold my muscles when I'm picking something up, and I just got lazy, and I tweaked myself, and so it took a couple weeks for it to go away. And then I was all busy last week to the point where I didn't have a second to turn around. And it's like, you know what? So when yesterday came, it's like, okay. I sat down and I marked in my calendar all the yoga classes I could go to based on my work schedule and other things. And put a reminder in there and then all this other stuff because I have until the first week of April to get everything back to the way that I want it, and also to focus on going back to a stage in my life where I don't feel guilty for doing all those things I did that put me in what I considered my prime, you know, my real self.
Right.
But anywho.
Okay. No, and that's what I was saying before, the idea of looking at people's lives, making it simple. No, long drawn-out question was just the idea of looking at points in your life where you can see similarities or you've done that before, which is usually most people can, because it's always leading to a goal, and you're looking for a solution. So it's kind of crazy. Because I was trying to figure out the ideal of the things I've gone through and how you explain it to people and the idea of putting it in words. Because there's some movements. Like I was saying about that one Tibetan move that I was doing where people consider going, if you see the visual in your mind, it looks weird. But until you actually experience it, you also realize the benefits of what it's doing too as well. And the idea of doing one simple technique that could actually balance your chakras in 5 seconds and also give you a, like I call it before, it was like a surge of youth. Because when I stood up, I remember the first time I did it was such an overwhelming feeling. And it was just, I've been trying to actually, I've told a couple of people about it. Actually, the difference between telling you and telling the people I've been talking to is I get to see them in person. So it's a whole lot easier to go, okay, this is what you do. And actually show them how the technique works so they can actually get the benefits of it. And sometimes when you, I guess you could describe it as when you're trying to tell people things, it's like telling somebody from long distance, okay, this is what it looks like. And you're going, okay, they can't see this. And you're trying to get the, you're trying to come up with the right words, like kind of visualizations. But I know, so that's why I kind of look at people when you sit there and try to talk about certain things, they're going, I have no idea what you're talking about. I got it. I was there. People talking, explaining things to me too. It wasn't until I actually experienced them firsthand that they ever actually made any sense. I know Manitou Springs has been one of those places where you seem to be more open-minded about things, so therefore you have a tendency to follow through a whole lot quicker. I'm not saying it's the only place on the planet, but for me, I went from living in Ohio, eating junk food and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, and then moving here, which Christina can say, well, he still eats junk food, but not as much. There's been a lot of changes since I came here. I don't drink soda. I haven't drank soda in almost probably 5 years. I used to drink Mountain Dew and eat Little Debbie's all the freaking time. But it was like when I came here, I just started seeing different perceptions and you know, things we choose to do in our lives. That there are certain things I don't do because I really can't do them because they interfere with what I do. And I also was able to look back in the past, too, to realize why I didn't get the perceptions I should have gotten from what I was subjected to. And it was because of the changes I hadn't done yet, where I couldn't see those things. So coming here, and I think it's when I came here, too, was the first time I really was really serious about feng shui. Because I was even trying to, I mean, I remember one point of trying to actually figure out how to even pronounce the word. Because I was looking at this word going, it's like downtown. You have Bijou, and you have Tehom. Now, when I look at those words and look at the way they're spelled, I came up with totally different pronunciations for it. People just laughing at me. Go, no, it's Tehom. It's an Indian name. So it has a certain twang to it. But it was weird. But then after you sit there and someone brings it to your attention, your perception changes so quickly that you go, okay, why did I have such a hard time pronouncing that word? Or why would I subject myself to certain things when I knew for exactly what they were doing? And now I sit there and look at things differently going, there's certain things I just can't do. Doesn't mean that once a year I don't get drunk or go out and drink because it's like one of the things. But I also know for a fact, too, it's like looking at people who claim to be alcoholic and looking at the decisions they did. Sometimes I have a hard time with that because I know being an alcoholic doesn't mean your arm automatically just does what it's going to do on its own and forces alcohol down your freaking throat. It's still a choice and on the line. And not to talk about alcoholism, but it's the idea that they call it a disease. And me in my mind, because of all the things I've gone through, I know diseases can be cured. I also know that disease, the word itself means to be at, you want to be at ease, and disease means you're not at ease within your body. So it's all perception. These are just, you know, like, these are just, you become vehicles or whatever that actually just basically does a thing because, and the reason I say that, because I know for a fact that when I drink, I don't know when to stop. So I don't do it very often. But since I've done the spirituality thing, it seemed, and I always say thing, it's just the idea of helping people understand, okay, well, spirituality is just the idea of getting to a different perception and going, I know for a fact if I go there, I know exactly what's going to happen, so therefore I choose not to go there. I've actually gone to AA meetings because I was trying to prevent something from happening because of what I was going through. And those kind of things. The reason I don't go to AA anymore because they try to, it depends too. I know it's one of those things people probably say the best thing ever happened to them. To me, it just seemed like it enhanced everything. The idea of people judging me even more. Of course, I was in Florida and in a certain place, so it's probably, it could be that whole thing too as well. I'm just saying, if you're going to use a spiritual concept like saying, God, help me with certain things, at the same time, you're telling everybody they can't do it because they have a disease, that's a contradiction. I think they should rely more on that spiritual side instead of relying on a person who's probably in the same boat you are. There's something wrong with union, and how would we put that? I have that word, too. I hate that. The idea of communion. There's the word. The idea of communion, I get it. But I don't think a blind sheep should lead another blind sheep. So, therefore, it's kind of crazy. But on that note, I'm just saying, I think we all have this thing within ourselves that we can control everything and anything if we tap into that power within ourselves. So what I was getting at was, as you're going through all these things, don't you feel like you're tapping more into yourself to the point where you feel a whole lot stronger than you did 3 years ago, 4 years ago, that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely more who I've always wanted to be in, than I've ever been before in my life. And, you know, I've saw how things, you know, how a lot of things I wanted to do that weren't happening, and they weren't happening because I wasn't the person I needed to be able to accomplish those things until now. So, and now I'm not satisfied with, you know, just where I'm at. I want to be more. I want to do more. I want to know more. I want to keep evolving because, you know, I want to continue being different, I guess. I don't want to be the same person from now until forever. But I want to keep, like I said, I want to keep evolving. So because it's if I've come to this point and I've accomplished these things, well, what if I get to that? Then, you know, what's the next level? What's the next point I want to reach? You know, I feel I can reach. Then what will happen when I do that? It could, you know, be even better than I can imagine. So it's like, you know, the thought of changing and stuff isn't as scary anymore. It's actually exciting, and I actually, you know, get kind of disappointed if it doesn't, if things don't change. So
yeah.
It's like, people are like, oh, you have to learn to be content. And there's a difference with being content and settling.
Yeah, you that's know, a situation.
I don't want this to be all there is.
I'm just saying, I can think of even more. I'm just saying, people say being comfortable is dangerous. Now you know why being comfortable is dangerous, because that's when you stop learning. And also, you seem like you're a person who wants to keep progressing and also expanding your perception, because you want to know more and more and more. And, you know, you're going to have to expand that perception of yours, and you're going to have to go along with the changes. But now you're welcoming it and actually having a lot of enthusiasm on what's next, right?
Exactly.
So you don't want to be comfortable no more. You want to keep going and going and going and realizing that every challenge, there's another challenge. But then again, now you're going, hey, this is great. Because you're learning so much about yourself, but you're also learning, for one thing, these things are always inside you. And then this is the one thing I always try to introduce people, saying you're also realizing one thing too. All the choices you've ever made in your life brought you to this point, and you also made those choices. And now you're just saying, well, that's the case. I want to make different choices and keep expanding in a positive way, which now I see I can do. Does that make sense?
Exactly. Oh, yeah, exactly.
So you know something?
What?
Did you get your 20 minutes, or do you want some more time to speak your mind?
Oh, no, I've had plenty of time. We've got some callers here that have been waiting quite a while, so we probably should pick somebody.
Yeah, go ahead and pick a number and just answer some questions for people. What do you say?
Okay. Let's go to 504.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. How's it going?
My name is Debbie. Debbie?
Hello, Debbie. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Louisiana.
Ah.
Oh, really? How close are you to New Orleans?
It's a very interesting town for sure.
Yeah, I know. I have a friend of mine who used to do reading there. She's reading down the French Quarter. And she said it was a kind of a creepy place, but interesting at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Are you guys giving general, or do you want me to give you a question?
We want to do a reading for you. Yeah, we want to give you both insights here. She's the logical one. I'm the one that's really open. I'm just not the idea of open mind. I'm just teasing you. It's just the idea that she has a way of giving a way where you can actually identify with it more, and I can get this. We'll put it like this: I do the readings, and I give you the futuristic stuff, okay? And she's going to help you in the idea when she gives advice. She gives you logical ways and progressing to get there, so it can happen.
Okay. All right.
That makes sense.
He basically he gives you the psychic side of things, and I give you the girlfriend advice.
Okay. Good cop and the bad cop.
Okay,
exactly.
That's a team. That's a team effort.
Exactly. So what is it you want to ask or do tonight?
Well, what everybody else is thinking, that there's a lot of relationship stuff going on right now, and mm-hmm. I'm wondering what you see for me in that realm.
You know something? The very first thing I pick up on was the idea of that little tune going, womp, womp, womp. I'm sorry. But, you know, it's one of those things that just kind of describes where you're coming from and the idea, your perception right now, kind of thinking on the idea of, can I really have what I want? And actually, I get the impression this year, you need to build that perception because you can't get what you want this year. You just got to really be detailed about it. You also got to change your list, okay? The reason I say change your list, it's more or less of looking over it again, and just reevaluating.
Okay. I do have a list. Isn't that funny?
I know.
I know. It's tucked away in a drawer, and I did manifest someone, and it's not bad, but there's issues, you know?
Well, you got to understand one thing, sweetie. It's like this, okay? You live on this plane, okay? There's still going to be progression, and there's still things you got to learn, and the person you picked, if he's definitely that list, you still got things to learn about each other and also about yourself. It's a learning lesson. Like we said before, spirituality is a lifetime commitment, and so are you. So therefore, if you have some variations, it's the idea of trusting what you got, trusting the relationships you have with this person, that you can actually get through these infractions and these little things, these speed bumps, smoothly. It's just the idea that you just really got to listen to each other.
Okay.
I get the impression you have a person who doesn't listen to himself, so therefore it makes it a lot harder, really. He needs to learn more, but then
you just wonder, like, how do you know it's a speed bump or it just ran its course, you know, burned out?
You got to sit there and follow your heart on every freaking thing you do. I hate to say it that way, but that's the way it is. You follow your heart because, see, the heart connections you have with this person is the ideal. It's like a phone line. It's telling you everything you need to know. It's not the ideal of trying to figure him out. Stop trying to figure him out. That's not your job. Your job is the ideal.
Oh, I'm done with that. Seriously, that is one thing this retrograde. I am only loving myself right now and only figuring myself out. I came to a major shift in that regard. That's why I was wondering if I hit the end of the road.
Well, the situation is the person you're with should also put you in a position where you love yourself even more because the person you chose is in your life right now, okay? So, therefore, you keep saying you're going to stop, you stop doing that for right now. Does that mean you're going to continue doing it after the retrograde is over? Are you going to sit there and keep focusing on loving yourself, following your heart? Because if you do all those things, realistically, the rest of it will fall into place. And the person that, this is one thing I've told people about before, just because you're twin flame, soulmates, and you have this really soul connection, if he's not going to get with the program, then he's not honoring himself or the relationship or the connection or the spiritual thing you got going on.
Right.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. The reflection there is to honor yourself.
Yeah. No, it's going to continue. It's going to continue.
Well, it's one of those things of continuing, but see, if you really stick to your guns and you actually say, I'm going to keep loving myself and following my heart, it might actually smooth itself out where he'll get it. Because
right.
You're getting it with yourself. And I'm just saying, if you get down the freaking road, because like I said before, I can predict anything. But people still have this free will. They can do whatever they want to do. Good or bad,
right.
They can do it. And I was sitting and saying, one thing I love about Christina is the idea we have these conversations. We talk about these things all the time. We don't care if we're going to hurt each other's feelings because we feel like we need to be taught. And we need to sit there and talk about those things. We need to sit there and do the whole freaking thing. I think that's why we do such a thing, the good thing here at the radio show, because we are so honest about so many things that we can actually talk to you and say, hey, this is the way it is.
Right. No, I like it. I like it. I like exactly what you told me. I'm okay.
Mm-hmm. Now it's Christina's turn, and she's going to let you have it, man. So you got to
place yourself. Let's hear the lady's point of view.
So there you go.
I don't know. To me, it's like I can just simply say, if you've started focusing on yourself and you are liking and enjoying and are feeling really good about the changes that you've made, as long as, you know, those changes are, what's the best way to put this? Are you focused? I mean, you are just taking yourself into consideration. Nobody else. It's just you. Then keep going down that path, and you will get that sense of confidence and esteem in such a way that this gentleman that, you know, the relationship, and I'm doing air quotes even though you can't see it. I think it will come across as, is this relationship work? You know, is this something that is distracting you from you as an individual and your thoughts and desires and goals, because you're trying to make accommodations for him? Then I honestly think then that is not benefiting you. That is actually detracting from you.
You want
somebody who adds it sounds selfish, and I have a lot of friends who roll their eyes at me when I say this, but, you know, because we've grown up with this sense of we have to, you know, love is self-sacrificing. Love is sacrificing yourself for other people, yada, yada, yada. And I honestly believe that love starts with you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have to take away from yourself to love somebody else, then that's not love. That's being a martyr.
And that's what I did. Exactly.
And martyrs become, then to me, that's when you become selfish, because you keep sacrificing for this person and they aren't noticing. Or their quote, because then you start feeling like they're taking advantage of you. They're taking you for granted. Look at all this stuff you do for them, and they don't acknowledge it. How dare they? You know, that's when you start getting selfish.
So I had a love affair. I like with myself today. I'm back in love with myself. I want to keep it there. I moved back to my apartment. I'm settled. I feel like I moved back into my own self, if that makes sense.
Well, hey, you know something? One thing I think this is the truth, okay? Most people who choose to live together, it's a physical thing, and it's a fear. If they don't do those kind of things, this is not going to continue, that kind of stuff. So it's making a decision in the wrong direction, in a wrong kind of format. But when you sit there and start focusing on really loving somebody because you love yourself, you realize you got all the time in the world. And it's just the idea of discovery, learning about not you and him, but together. And when that stops happening, which I think your man friend here is just basically going, it's like most guys, you know, you do the chase, you get there, and once you get there, you're thinking, okay, I'm done. Not realizing, I'm sorry, but it starts.
No, he just started to neglect me, and it wasn't mean or anything. It was just neglectful. That's the only word I could think of, and I just started to...
Let me ask you a question. With him neglecting you, do you realize that maybe the neglecting you're thinking about was neglecting yourself?
Oh, yeah, it went hand in hand. Totally went hand in hand.
Right.
Well, I feel sorry for him because he went through a lot of stuff recently. You know, he lost his mom and his anxiety and blah, 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 blah. But I am not going to do somebody's work for them. And I got it clear as a bell. For some reason, this shift, I don't know why I didn't see it earlier. I don't know why I would put somebody above myself, because I don't feel that way now. I believe it will stick.
Yeah, that's the one thing I really get irritated with guys and that kind of stuff, and the idea, I lost my parents, I did this and I did that, and they think that's justifiable in the way they treat you. And I'm sitting there going,
It gets old.
You're not,
it got old.
You're not doing the work for yourself, and the idea you expect me to do it for you. So go ahead and put your head on my lap, and I'll put your patch and maybe change your diaper. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, you don't. You're both supposed to be adults. So therefore, the ideal situation of talking, communicating, realistically for him to get through the whole thing is to confide in you, not to treat you like garbage. Or to sit there and say, I can't talk about it. Then go away, dude, until you can. And people think it's insensitive, but seriously, I don't think we're responsible for anybody, but we are responsible for the things we put out there. And if we're putting negative stuff out there and expecting people are going to treat us in a positive way, get real.
Right.
Okay? So they're putting our minds at our freaking ease and going, I mean, I'm sorry, but people are like a mental smash. Wake up, dude. This is your chance to get through this a whole lot smoother because you got somebody who can support you, but I'm not going to hold you up. Okay?
Right.
So get with it. So, you know, it's okay. And if you walk away, isn't he the one that started it first?
Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm. So, hey, with reflections, and we talk about this all the time, reflection and how we reflect each other, you're just doing what he's doing. You know, you're protecting
pulling
yourself,
out emotionally.
Yeah. His is more unhealthy because I really feel like he expects you to pick him up, and that's not your job.
Right.
You are a strong person, so if he can't learn from that, then he's just not listening and he's not really seeing you for who you are, not really respecting you and treating you for the person you are. Because it seemed like from what you picked up on, you just kind of neglected yourself for a moment, but on the forefront, you're an awesome person. And this person has made you take, I guess he puts you in a position where he wants to make you responsible for his infractions and his shortcomings when it's not your job.
Right. Yeah. I was wondering if he was a Walter Mitty almost for a little while. And then I figured, you know what? Like you said, it's not my job to figure him out. Like it's either going to work or not. But this is huge for me. This is huge for me. That's why I was wondering if, because I'm trying to maintain a friendship or something, but I don't feel it back anymore. So I'm wondering if it's just the end of the road or I'm just
Well, it's one of those situations you look at, you'll figure it out in the idea of if it's the end of the road or not, or is it just a crossroads of where you want to go. And hopefully that he'll get the point, and if he wants to be a part of it, he'll go along with it. But that's to be honest with you, every time Christine opens her mouth, I always learn something from her. And the idea of the things that we should be looking at and how she approaches life, it makes perfect sense. And the idea of the situation she just described, you know, and the things that she's done for her own life. It's kind of crazy to sit there and look at somebody and go, okay, some of us do have a tendency to be a little egotistic and a little big-headed, thinking we can't learn from nothing from nobody. And I swear, every time I've talked to her, I've always walked away going, that's interesting, and it made me think. So definitely really taking consideration of what she just said. So do you have any more questions? Christy, did you have anything else to add to this, too, as well?
The only thing I can say is that a guy lets things happen. A man makes things happen.
Right.
So he has to make things happen in his own life to be a man.
Right.
And only a man can have a healthy relationship with a woman. So I do not believe that, you know, trying to keep this as a friendship is healthy for either one of you, because it will be like, you know, you are overweight, you lost a bunch of weight, but you still hang on to those fat pants. Because even though you don't want to ever get that weight again, you also don't want to let it go because it's sort of a security thing just in case you do. So don't go back to the fat pants.
Yeah, no, it's proximity. He just lives nearby. He lives nearby. That's why. Really, like we're going to go have coffee, but, you know, friendly. That's what I meant.
There's a lot of people that live nearby you, so, you know, don't tell you that.
No.
Take your phone, delete his number out of your phone, because honestly, honey, he doesn't need you as a friend.
Okay?
delete his number out of your phone, unfriend him from Facebook, and focus on the things in your life that benefit you, the people who benefit you mentally and spiritually and even physically. So people that bring you out of yourself sometimes or bring you out of your little comfort zone and focus on that. This guy, honestly, he's not worth it because he's just a guy. He's a dude. You know?
I agree.
And you don't have time or energy for guys and dudes. They're a drain. Just tell them, you know what? You have plenty of friends, or if you don't have plenty of friends, that's your problem. I don't. He doesn't really.
Well, some.
Yeah, and it's all his. And it's his fault. It's his fault. It's
right.
Not your fault.
Oh yeah.
And honestly, an ex girlfriend still as a friend. That's just more trouble waiting to happen. So.
Yeah.
Get it in the book.
No. Yeah, you're right.
Listen to this. I was going to say, if he's a person who wants to be friends, who's just looking for an opportunity, then he's not a friend.
He doesn't want to be friends. He told me he didn't. I'm the one that said, we could be friends, just because that's kind of where I really feel like we are right now.
Well, I would say to agree with Christina on that whole thing. Since he doesn't want to be friends, then give him what he wants, because I don't think that's what he wants. So, therefore, block him on Facebook, the whole freaking thing, just take care of the whole thing and say, well, this is what you wanted, this is what you got, so therefore live with it.
Yeah. Woo. Okay. Onward and upward.
Is there another subject you'd like to ask?
Did we do the good cop, bad cop thing well enough?
Yes, very much. I appreciate it. I do. It started affecting me when my body, like I started having like sore muscles that were knotting up tighter and tighter, and I couldn't move my left arm. It was something I was not looking at. So I just looked at it, and the muscles are actually releasing right now. That's how, like, I guess I wasn't facing, like I was just like numb to my feelings.
That's good.
Because it's just like, pay attention to me. That's the only thing I wanted, and I didn't get it. So I'm paying attention to myself, and I'm really having a nice time.
Good.
There you go. That's what I was asking. If you had any more questions, you want to ask about something else, because you know, sometimes me and Christina get tired of answering questions about relationships because.
Oh, okay. I feel like something big is going to happen at work.
There's something big going to happen at work.
I do. I feel like I might get a promotion. I just kind of have a vibe.
You know, this is what I look at it like this with predictions, okay? I predict things happening. You know why? Because I see them. So, therefore, they won't happen unless you see them, too. And since you already have that very positive vibe, I would just sit there and, because I've had people do this before, they'll sit there and go, I feel like something's going to happen. What should I do? I said, nothing. Just go with the flow and let it happen.
The best things just come to you. The best things just come to you, at least to me. That's so I'm just like, okay, I'm just waiting for it to come to me in a way, you know?
Do me a favor.
Huh?
Do that with relationships.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
I can hear Christina thinking too. Okay. Anyway. I can feel that one. Anyway, when we start looking at the situation, I'm just saying, you know, like you just said before, because realistically, when we're manifesting things, it doesn't matter what it is. It's still the same process. But some of us have a tendency that our egos get in the way, expectations and fears that we have a tendency to present in the process of any kind of relationship. We have to admit one thing. We do have I think all of us have that certain control thing where we want to control it because of the fears. We want to feel safe. Okay, so therefore, the more you can put yourself in that natural state, like using experiences, like, hey, I feel real good about this. I'm going to get a job promotion. Even if I don't get a job promotion, I'm feeling something's going to happen. So therefore, I may be wrong on the timing and that kind of stuff, but we all have a tendency to find our nights relaxing thing. Now, I know for a fact people out there are going to say, you know, really? Okay, not everybody, but I'm just saying we know for a fact that when we let go of things, things always happen in our favor. So that was happening way before The Secret even came out. It's amazing if people look at me in The Secret as a secret work.
Absolutely. You could put out a million resumes and then you don't get anything from it, but then a friend tells a friend and you get it from the side door. You get a job. I'm like, what? You know, but I guess you had to put the energy out there and expect it, but it never came from the papers you put out. You know what I mean?
Right, but also you got to think about the ideals that we all know. Okay, think about this in your past. You know for a fact that you walked into job interviews and you knew you had the job. How can we cannot keep our minds at that state? Because we knew. I know for a fact I've gone through a lot of things. I knew as soon as I walked in the freaking door, I don't have this job. I'm ready to get out of there then. Then there's other times you walk into something going, you just sit down and go through the process because you know you already got the job. Realistically, it's the same thing with relationships and stuff. We know. You know, so it's one of those things. I think the time when they start having problems is when we start trying to control everything. So the best thing to do is just let go of everything and just go with the flow of that, realizing what you just said and using the same technique and the idea of what you're saying about the relationship and that kind of stuff. Because it's like me too. I have the same problem. You know, it's like sometimes I expect Christina to just start laughing. But it was like one of those things where I'm focusing and I know the process and how it works and that kind of stuff. But we all have that little human side we deal with, and it has a tendency to knock us off course. That's why I tell people to focus. That's why people, to me personally, why people are focusing on spirituality, because that's where they get the balance. That's where they feel the most, not controlling, as in controlling everybody, or even the idea of what she was talking about before, too, of focusing on yourself. But what they're saying by focusing on yourself, if you look at it from a spiritual standpoint, it means focusing on your true spirit, who you really are, and realizing that everything you've ever wanted your whole freaking life, once you tap into the whole situation, you start realizing the only limitations you have are the ones you create.
Right.
The prisons you live in are the ones you have already created. Now it's time for you to realize that and realize that since you created this one, as soon as you realize it doesn't exist, the walls fall away and you start going, why did it take so long? Well, don't sit there and I don't think you should really focus on why it took so long. Is the idea it just happened, and to, you know, even realistically, if you're in jail, okay, and all of a sudden you just woke up one day and realize you put yourself there and the walls faded away, would you sit there and ponder?
No.
You would leave.
No.
I'm free, man. Let's go. Let's get out of here and do what we got to do. So I'm just saying with the situation and that kind of stuff, you know.
I saw a cute thing on Facebook. It had the jails are most something like being in prison is mostly in your mind, and it was a horse tied up or chained up to a plastic chair, which you can easily move,
like
an outside chair. And so I put that on my thing. I was like, okay, this is me today. Thank you. Mm-hmm. The horse did not know it weighed like 5 ounces. You know.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
And keep us posted on that promotion.
Oh, thank you.
I'll
call back. All right, please do.
Okay.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye. Don't you sit there sometimes and listen to me talk and ask yourself why I don't listen to myself? I was just waiting for you to bust up laughing and go, you know something?
Yeah.
Like I tell you, listen to yourself, and you're going, okay. Listen to your own advice you give everybody else. And I get this here going, oh, shoot, am I really going down this path of, you know? Yeah, so therefore we will. I'm just saying with the situation. Go ahead and say what you got to say. Come on, just blast me if you want. I mean, it's not like you don't have it.
Hey,
I told you
earlier. It's like you have a hike up the incline in your future.
Oh yeah,
I think I'm thinking tomorrow might be an excellent day for that.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. No, it's been kind of one of the things I've been contemplating too.
Yeah, because it's like every time you do that, it helps you clear out a bunch of that gunk that you've let pile up. And you, by the time you get to the top, you realize, you know what?
Right.
Kind of,
yeah.
You just keep watching it all tumble down the hill as you go up higher and higher. So, yeah, you're capable of knowing what you need to do. You just sometimes, you know, can't hear it for all the other stuff going on in your head. But we're all guilty of that until we are forced to really focus and, you know, center ourselves. So, yeah, it was kind of funny because you were talking. I'm thinking, you know, for all you're going on about, you know, your chakras and stuff, it's like, when's the last time you cleaned out your chakras?
Maybe I should also give you some insight for how much I'm subjected to all the time. Then maybe I should do it more often. Because I was sitting there, it's like one of those examples of telling people, how much are we subjected to? I said, look at me in the process of how I've gone off a couple of times, and I'm constantly working on things and focusing. I mean, I got a gym in my freaking apartment. You know, the ideal, I have these releases and these outlets and that kind of stuff. But I still have those moments and going, damn. So it's like always telling people, before you think about going into the work, think about that. Because, you know, you're thinking our jobs and what we do is easy. No, it's not. There's a lot of frustration with it, too, because of watching somebody go. And sometimes you try to keep yourself from laughing, too. You're like, okay, I told you to go right, and you turn left. And now you're mad at me because you fell in the lake. You know, if you would have gone right, you would have gone in the direction you wanted to and continued. So it's the idea of looking at, like the other day I was doing a reading for a lady. I'm sitting there going, we don't have an ocean here. But if I can see the example they're giving to you because you're always sitting down here by the creek. So we have the mountains and we have the ocean, and it's basically a representation of water. Water is healing for a lot of people. The mountains is grounding, and then you have the two together. It's a great catalyst to sit here and get you really centered. And actually, it's also said in feng shui that if you have, I think it's, if you have the mountains to your back and the water in front of you, it's also a great magnet for attracting things to you, and also a very positive mindset within your environment. So I was like, hey, you know, this person here just found that without even trying. And then the cars were just reflecting and saying, well, there you go. You know, you're wondering how come you feel so centered in this town. Now you know why. Look at the situation going on, that kind of thing. And sometimes I think we have to realize that people just cannot see things. And it's not because they're stupid. It's just they still need to go through certain steps. You know, it's like, I think you talked about this once before, too, about getting the steps to get to that point where you can actually see over the wall. And you still have to go through those steps to get there. And most people haven't even decided to even go up the stairs yet. So I think we should definitely have our situation where we step back and go, okay, let's see where these people are first before we get mad because they're not dealing with it. Because sometimes in certain environments, I can't really see everything. Maybe because, I mean, if I'm being hit with 10 things, I'm not going to see that 11th one. It doesn't make me a bad person. It's just, hey, you know, you can't surpass your limitations until you realize what they are. So I was just freaking out on the whole freaking thing. And it, I mean, you have to understand. That's one reason I like doing this show and the idea of the realizations that happen, not just everybody else, but for me as well.
Well, but honestly, why the whole point is that we don't have limitations except for the limitations we put on ourselves. So those are self-inflicted limitations.
And you know, something I wish people would realize is stress is self-inflicted too as well. So it's like looking at things going, you know something? Because people look at the situation, they're looking for stress relief, not realizing, I can tell you where it's at. And they go, where's that? I said, within you. I've been using that one meditation a lot. Everybody I've been introducing them to is the one where you focus on that space behind your heart and you just keep telling yourself, I am love, and reconnecting to yourself. I've been really telling a lot of people about that one, and I've had a lot of positive responses where people going, now that is simple and right to the point, and all you got to do is keep going within yourself to have the realizations you want and also find the answers you've been looking for, right? So it's been an interesting week because it's the reason I told you about this meditation with the three fingers and focusing and counting backwards to get yourself in that state, because I know for the visualizations, what I started doing was, is the days that everybody else says it's going to be slow and it won't get any business, are the days I focus on visualizing that I'll surpass on those days. And it's been pretty interesting. Monday was a good, well, Monday is a holiday. People are going to say, well, it was a holiday, lots of people. But I don't know if you ever experienced it here. Just because there's a lot of people in this town doesn't mean there's going to be a lot of business. It just means people gravitate to this space too as well. So I was sitting there talking and saying, okay. But also the book also indicates the ideal of your success is up to you. So therefore nothing, like you said, there's no limitations except for the ones we create. And it even refers in the book. It says this book will help you surpass any difficulties and the idea of using and learning these simple techniques. I guess this is where my question came from, where the idea of asking, going, you know, why are we now? Because this thing here has been, this guy developed this back in the 50s. He's been trying, you know, back then it was like trying to, he was having a hard time with scientists because scientists said you couldn't do it. And that's what a lot of people have a tendency, that's why I have a tendency to get really angry and the idea of, you know, trying to, the word logic, because this guy here is trying to talk to these scientists and they're saying, well, physically you can't do that. There's been a lot of things that people said you physically couldn't do, but when you tap into the spirit, and we realize we have no limitations, that's when people start finding the solutions to get around it and go over. Is it a speed bump? It doesn't matter if it's a speed bump or not. We know for a fact we all have a tendency to learn how to negotiate those freaking speed bumps. But we do get stressed. I hate speed bumps. They're driving me freaking crazy. Why do they do this kind of shit? And then you sit there and go, you clear your head and you either drive over it slowly or you go around it. But you're wasting your time and you're sitting there getting mad at people who put them there because they're not going to come back anytime soon and take them away. So you better figure out to get over and go. Believe me, I know you've gone through stuff like that too, speed bumps. We've all had the situation of looking at speed bumps being mountains, but then again, even mountains have ways around them. Christina?
Yes?
Is there like a pause when I sit here and talk to you, or is it just you?
Well, sometimes I've tried to talk before giving it a second for you to finish. It kind of like, it like skips or something. So it's like I give it a couple of seconds before I respond to make sure that, you know, whatever delay is happening, it doesn't cut anything off. So
mm-hmm. That's why I was asking
about what you're saying.
Well, that's why I was asking if it was you or you were pausing on purpose.
It's a little bit of both.
Right. Okay, so you want to take this call, 718?
Sure. Hang on here.
Well, you want me to click on it?
Hello, 718.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. How are you?
Yes.
I am doing great.
I like what you had to say about manifesting on days that people say are slow. I find that, I find that when I really don't want to go do something, but I want mm-hmm. a certain result, I said, you know what, I need to just get up and go do it, and I get crazy amazing results. So,
exactly.
Yeah, so that's so, definitely true, especially with career and stuff.
So that's just you, right? You're Lisa, right?
Yes. Hello?
Yeah, so... No, I was just pausing for a moment because I was sitting there thinking about the ideal of saying yes. But there's actually been days, too, where I sit here, and most people will be logical about the whole thing, saying if you're going to go to your shop, you should go in the morning and stay all freaking day. When I've actually sit there and focus, and my guys, I keep getting this prompting just to sit on the couch and relax. And then all of a sudden I'll get a prompting to go down at 4 o'clock, and people go, 4 o'clock, you're just now coming down here? And then I get a roll of just a rush of people. I mean, the other day I made over $100, and I was just like, I didn't show up until like 4 o'clock. But it was one of those things that you got to listen to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do people say? Because those people are usually going by what's normal. And when you do psychic stuff, there's nothing normal about it in the sense that they see. But, I mean, you know, with us, it's like, going, okay. But it's like telling everybody, you do the same thing, too, intuitionally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can
mm-hmm.
use the word intuition, fine. But I'm saying when you listen to your intuition, what happens? I guarantee you're more right than wrong. And when you sit here and start doing things in an ego sense of going, I got to go down there. You know, we got to open up at 10. And then you sit there until 4 o'clock. And when, if you would have listened to your intuition, you would have gone there at 4 o'clock, got the rush of people you wanted to work with, and go home. So it makes life easier for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it makes sense.
Sorry.
Well, I have two things that are on my mind. One is career stuff, but I'll wait for that one. The question is about love. I definitely cleared a lot of space last year. Like, I had some really interesting and, like, in, I guess, events in love, and then sometimes there was nothing going on, and there's someone that I'm still seeing somewhat. I mean, I'm seeing him still. I'm still interested in him, but wondering what would you see coming in for me as far as, like, a relationship.
Was that Oscar?
Yes. That actually had happened at the end of the year. I was dating somebody else for a while. I didn't expect to hear from him. I was actually dating someone else. And then when he showed up, it actually was a very ideal time. I manifested exactly what I wanted, something, you know, connection and love and support and fun. And out of nowhere, he showed up. I was like, oh, my goodness, okay. I didn't know that was going to happen. So we had a really nice time and things of that nature. So, I mean, I'm not going to say I don't have feelings for him still. I do. But I'm not one to – I want things to happen organically. And if that's who I'm supposed to be with, that will happen organically. But I wanted to know what you picked up for me in general.
Have you ever listened to the show since Christina's been doing co-hosting?
No, sorry, I have not.
Christina.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just
saying,
you know, talk to the lady about the situation. I mean, I can. We're going to do the to answer your questions and stuff. It's just the idea that Lisa is somebody I've known for a long time, and I have a tough time with this guy named Oscar because I have a tendency to, I got to bite my tongue because, you know, it's just Oscar sticks in my head all the way. So just,
okay, just stop mentioning it, please, I ask you.
Okay, no problem. This person you're talking about, this young guy, we're talking about him because I had some visions about his, a broom closet and stuff like that. But I was always curious.
Person. He's a great person. It's just, you don't,
I know. It's just, sometimes these things just hit me in a certain way, okay? When we were sitting talking before, I was always curious about what happened with the situation with him and that kind of stuff. Because I always felt like since he was so reserved in some ways, there was a whole lot more on the surface of him.
You said, I wanted to tell you that, he's not as reserved, but he still is very reserved. But he's not he's really opened up a lot, which is great. Which is why I'm very much like, when it comes to that, if that's something that's meant to happen, it's happening organically. It gets stronger all the time. But I recognize everybody has free will, including me. So I don't put all my eggs in that basket, but I would never deny that I have feelings. You know, I mean, if you pick up anything about him, I'd love to hear that. But if, you know, if there's someone else, like, I'm open to all of it.
Actually, the situation, I was just introducing you to Christina because she's been doing the show for a while, but, and being really incredible with what she's doing. But the one thing I get with you is there's nobody else coming in. It's the idea of keep focusing on letting whatever happens, because I feel like it's one of those situations where things are already falling into place. It's just that word we always talk about, patience, is one of the things I see the most in here that you need to do. With all the things that already started, I mean, the things that are already going on, because I don't see anybody that's coming into the mix. I don't see anybody that's out there that's for you. It's like, well, look at this situation going, you know, it's a progression. It's a person who's working in his own. He's also has his own sense of, he's a very mature person, but he still has a lot to work with, too, as well, with his own realizations, you know. But I still see the situation between the two of you going somewhere even more than what it is now. It's just the idea. I keep hearing that word organic. Everybody uses the word organic, which just drives me crazy. Why to say go with the flow?
Yes.
Not to denounce what you're saying with organic. I get it. It's like one of those things, you just want something to happen very natural, and we're all really getting back to the basics on that whole thing, too, but we're actually eating small bananas because this chemical enhanced world we have and how it's actually really affecting us in a negative way, which I think it has a lot to do with how relationships are doing too as well. Because it can, you know, like, for example, it's been proven with Alzheimer's and dementia that if you drink a lot of things that aluminum cans or have aluminum in your system, they actually block the sensors in your brain. And when people stop drinking out of aluminum cans, they start thinking more clearly, okay? So you can't sit there and not look at foods and not interfering with people and how they're making decisions and perception. So I get the organic thing, and I think that the situation is, it's one of those things when you could, well, you see progression, but you also see the idea of how it's a learning experience for both of you. So it's the idea of looking at the patients that you have to acquire, or you're acquiring, you're going through, and then look at the same thing with him. It's just the idea of the realization he's going through stuff. I still say, like I always say, you know, we all have to stop figuring out other people. We have to sit there and focus on ourselves, focus on our own hearts, and realize the connections we have are like phone lines. And they're giving us messages all the time, but we're focusing on them, on the physical sense and the surface and what we're seeing, instead of focusing on what we feel within ourselves to realize there's what we would have all the answers we ever needed, and things would progress a whole lot faster. So I feel like this situation is still one of those things where I've seen it before. It's definitely going to go somewhere. It's definitely going through a lot of variations. So like I said before, like you said, free will, people choose their own paths how to get there. But it is kind of funny how they both end up in the same place. They just choose different ways. Well, you know, there's a smoother track, and I tell people all the time, in the idea of psychic work, realistic, what we're focusing on is trying to help you with the easiest way to get there. Okay, but you still got to deal with your own little inner voice and your own decisions. You have free will to do whatever you're going to do. I'm pretty sure you can look back on the situations you have with this person, and maybe even other relationships where you can see where you could have been different, could have been smoother. Just take those things that you learn from that now and say, okay, let's incorporate them now and make it easier and smoother. But I've, like I said before, I've seen certain variations with you too, but I still see what I see. And I, because when you ask the question, is there anybody else, or just finishing your statement, that came so quick and basically said, no, there's no one else. It's the idea of the situation that's going on now. Just to sit there and let go, have faith. Like we've all said before, when you put faith in front of everything, it gives it strength and usually puts it in a situation where it starts progressing even quicker. Because I've had a lot of people ask, talk about the word hope. And they said, you know something, I've heard Christians say that. I hope it happens. But you can hear their voices where they're saying, I hope it happens. At the same time, they don't think it's going to happen. So that's a contradiction. But if you sit there and say faith and hope, you can see how faith gave hope more concrete. And that's what I see here with this situation. It's like really keep your eyes open, your perception and your intuition open to the situation. And you'll see what I see too as well, this thing progressing very easily. So I was going to ask Christina her insights in the situation too as well.
Hi, Christina.
Hi. What I didn't catch is you said your name was Lisa?
Yes.
Lisa, okay. I want to know why you sound so tired.
Because I am. I've been staying up really late writing and finishing a website, looking for business, online and just really meeting a really strong deadline and really just trying to get my financial stability. So it's a lot of work. And since I really wanted to just complete tasks that I said I would do by a certain time, that's it. And I'm thank you for noticing, by the way. It's very real. It's very real.
One of the problems that we have, especially as women, is that we being physically tired also makes us mentally tired and also makes us spiritually tired.
Yes.
And which, when we're physically tired, it causes our bodies to emit chemicals and things that then drain us mentally. And then we start not thinking things through very clearly. And we start sort of, in some senses, putting more importance on things that aren't really that important. Because things just sort of snowball because we're so tired. So I don't know, you know, if there's an end to your deadline anytime soon. But if it's like, if you get everything caught up by the end of this week, if you can, I highly recommend that you turn everything off for a weekend. Just turn the computer off, turn your phone off, turn anything off that, you know, and warn people before you do it so nobody thinks you've, like, you know, sliced your wrists or anything like that. Just warn people that I'm going off the grid this weekend because I have to rest. Okay? I mean, no men, no girlfriends, no family. I mean, if you have any pets, let the pets stay. Pets are a source of comfort. But just make, you need to have a couple of days that are for you, only you. And every thought that comes into your head, make sure it's about you and only you. Say, you know, Lisa, you need to, you know, do this. Lisa, you need to do that. Not because of, you know, Joe over here or Bobby over there or my friend Melissa or my mother or my sister. It's, you know, you just need to rest everything. I'm not meaning sleeping until 4 o'clock in the afternoon because that's not healthy either. But just set yourself a nice, easy, restful schedule. And see how that feels. And see how you can integrate that into your everyday life. Because I think you've just taken way too much on to the detriment of yourself and for any current relationship or future relationship. Because once you have that rest, you can see clearer. You can see things for what they really are because you're not that hyper sense. You're not doing that hyper awake thing. You're not, you know, running on adrenaline. You're not, you know, you just can finally just know which things you need to let go of and which things that are, you know, really important, what really makes your life work.
Thank you for that.
I think you're making things, in some senses, a little harder than they need to be because you're just tired. So, yeah, that's my 2 cents.
Yeah, I'm just saying, too, when she says that, too, because some people say, you know, I remember the first time I ever did that, and I disappeared for 3 days. She is right. You should warn people, because people say, what happened to you? What was going on? Why didn't you answer my phone call?
They definitely do that. But she gave such Christina, that's just amazing advice. Yeah, I'm already plotting it in my head.
I mean, seriously, look at your list of the tasks that you feel you have to do and see which ones really honestly need to be done by the end of this week and which ones that by the end of this week can wait like 3 days. You know, do them as much as you can up to the end of this week. And just basically what I say is prioritize them. Which ones, you know, which ones have a deadline in like the next day or the next 2 days and which ones you have like another week or two. You know, they could actually wait another week or two to really do. And then just turn it off. Turn it off.
Yeah. I have a career question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I'm supposed to be getting 2 contracts this month. One for a speaker's tour. I'll be like an MC for a tour. When do you see that one coming in? It's specifically for that. Like traveling and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like on a plane. I say that because I travel a lot in New York City. But so traveling on a plane.
Oh, fun.
So I'm like,
yeah, I love to travel, so that sounds like a blast to me.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's like a lot of things up in the air, and that's like me not wanting to put all my eggs in one basket. So that's where a huge part of my energy is trying to produce by myself.
Mm-hmm. So you want to know when?
Yeah, when do you see me, like, you know, I guess receiving a check or from that, or just the next contract that's needed?
Every time you keep saying contract, I keep getting some kind of contact in 2 weeks.
Okay.
That's the thing that comes up the most. It doesn't really specify one way or the other. It says, keep your mind open because something's going to fall in your lap in 2 weeks. And every time you start talking about contracts, that's when I get the answer even more stronger. So. But it didn't specify. It's almost like, to me, it's more like a domino effect. One pops in and the other one starts falling in behind it.
Mm.
But the less you think about it, the quicker they happen, too, as well.
Which is another reason why, you need to focus on rest and how you can get rest and the tiredness under control. Because if you do get a contract like that and you haven't learned how to integrate that in a healthy way into your life, you're going to burn out super fast.
Yes, that's what I was about ready to say too. You know, find a way to take your 3 days of rest because it seems like it's something that happens. It seems like it's the catalyst that actually brings about the ideal of the timing of the situation too as well. Because it says it's like take rest soon afterwards. That's when you get a message or something that comes through in the ideal of knowing exactly what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps coming up with contracts, so it's the ideal. Like I said before, it doesn't specify which contracts and that kind of stuff, but it's also the ideal. Because I was sort of listening to you talk about the idea, I want to put my eggs in one basket, but in the real spiritual realm, we do that because we trust the decisions we make. And we sit there and do what we do. You know, if it doesn't work out, it's never, well, I wouldn't say never, but there's usually when you listen to that intuition, clairvoyance, or whatever, you can put your eggs in one basket because you made a good decision. And I see where you're at, but that you're like a prime example. When you sit there and think you can't put everything in one basket, you split your energy, and you actually put yourself in a situation of overtaxing yourself, too, because you're focusing 2 different directions. So finally, 3 days, and I feel like that's when everything after the 3 days happens. Because I've done the same thing. I took 3 days off, just sit there and said, to heck with the world. And it wasn't one of those things I took in notion. And I didn't really take in the consideration of anything else. I just took the 3 days off. And then found out later on that the reason I had such an anxiety about taking the 3 days off is because of all the responsibilities I thought I had. But after I took the 3 days, I started realizing those responsibilities were more based on fear than they was actually what needed to be done. And people taxing you too is going, okay. The more you let go, the more you let go of the situations, the more you just put yourself in a state of a mind of what's important for you. Those other things usually have a tendency to come to the surface of how important they are if they're actually still be a part of your life. Because that's the point. They'll be a part of your life. But if you're not really focusing on your life, which is rest and relaxation too, then you're creating an imbalance.
Hmm. Very true.
Oh. I definitely see something coming in 2 weeks. So therefore, I'm sure you can find 3 days in that 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Christina?
Oh, just basically, you know, what I was learning from when I watched Eat, Pray, Love and read the book. It's like, learn the next day, you know, those 3 days, learn the art of doing nothing. The beauty of doing nothing. Just enjoy doing nothing.
Yeah, like that one book said, the art of being lazy actually teaches you how to learn to be.
Exactly. So. There's nothing wrong with it. It's perfectly okay.
My fun question is, how soon after that, or maybe like weeks, will you see me going on a date? Because I actually want to do that.
Yeah.
I do. I had so much fun last time I did that. The last time I did that, we had such a great time relaxing, doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The other time we went somewhere outside where we found a place to sit around and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt great.
Well, you definitely don't want to be tired.
No,
people,
no.
You know?
I'm never tired when I go on my dates. I always sleep well and rest. I know, because it won't feel good. No, I know.
Exactly. You'll be forcing things that you don't want to force. So.
Yeah, the universe doesn't let me go on dates when I'm tired. I've already, like, it doesn't work. It has never worked.
Well, with the idea of experience that you already had, what you said was a great time, it's the idea of learning how to open to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
You had a great time, visualize and say, okay, all you need to do is open up to receive it. Then it happens. Everything seems to follow a time frame with you when you ask your questions about contracts and business, and then you ask about dates and that kind of stuff. Still keep following in the 2 week period.
Mm.
You know, the dating thing, I just feel like it has to, it's almost like the ideal of conflict with scheduling, but then again, that's also a perception. I just feel like you'll understand why things happen and the idea of how they fell apart and why it's a 2 week time frame.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good timing for you in situations in the business, people thinking about that kind of thing and that kind of thing.
Okay.
So I would definitely relax and go, I'm open to receive, and then just leave it that way. Because you've definitely put the intentions out there, so now you got to put those intentions, manifest, and come back to you.
Yeah.
I swear.
He swears it.
It's just comforting. I'm just grateful for both of you. Very grateful. It's just like at the end, I had a very... I want to say a passionate day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A very passionate day. Disagreements, but passionate day. I'm just like, wow. Just wanting relaxation. You know, it's just you want to support yourself, you know, and I know that if
mm-hmm.
I'm not taking action on certain things, I'm not, you know, I'm the one that supports myself. So it's just been very interesting, to say the least. So I'm just working towards that. And then when I was waiting, and I trust the contracts, like I know they're going to come through, but they were scheduled to come through last year. So
mm-hmm. So
it's just like, okay, like that's going to come through when it's going to come through. So what do I do now? And believe me, I don't want to be all over the place. It's just sitting and waiting and sitting and waiting and sitting and waiting, and I can't control what other people are doing. I know I did my part. I'm trusting that's supposed to happen in divine timing, but I do need
mm-hmm.
to eat now. You know what I mean? So, and I've built weight now. So it's, yeah. It's like everything.
I understand where you're coming from, because right now I'm trying to get this new cottage apartment. And it's actually taking it to another price range. and I was just, you know, freaking out to the point where I've actually sort of been thinking about all the freaking money I get. I'm going to keep that freaking money. I'm going to get that money for that apartment, and that's my main focus. I don't care if I starve. I'll be nice and thin. You're going to have some nice abs, but and when I move into this place, okay? But that's realistically, if you think about that, okay, that's not a realistic way of looking at it, because in order to get a flow going, you have to keep